Today, the title of my sermon is called Leaving a Legacy, Leaving a Legacy. And you're going to be turning in your Bible to 2 Timothy, the first chapter. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. If you've got the Bible on your phone, you can just flip there, turn that on and move there. However you need to do it, we'll be moving to 2 Timothy and reading out of the Word there. The first chapter. So what do you want your kids to remember about you when you leave this world? If you don't have children, maybe you have nieces or nephews or somebody in your life that you're impacting. We all impact people. They say one person will impact many, many lives before their life is done. What do you want people to remember about your life? What do you want your children to remember about you when you leave this world? That's an amazing question. That's an amazing question. What do you want them to post on Twitter? What do you want them to put on Facebook? That seems to be where everything goes nowadays, is on Facebook or Twitter or on photos or Instagram. What will the post be? What will your child write about you? What will they say about your life? Leaving a legacy means more than leaving money in a will or a trust fund. It means you left something of value behind. You deposited in the heart of a person. You invested in the heart of a person. And you left something of great value there. Something that's not tangible, something that's spiritual, something that will guide them through the rest of their lives. What was it? What did you leave there? What do you want to leave there? Is it kindness? Is it love? Is it a teaching of forgiveness? Is it a discipline and a correction that led to right behavior and a total transformation of life? Hope for today and faith that will bring a person into eternity. These are the spiritual things that really will matter when all is said and done. What do you want deposited into the heart of your child that when you leave this world, they will say something of value that you gave them? And it was more than money. It was more than trinkets or toys. Some people leave legacies of sorrow implanted in scars in the hearts of their children. The words that they spoke, the things that they said. Sometimes the words are more damaging than a fist. The Bible says that the power of life and death is in the tongue, and those who indulge in it eat the fruit of it. Sometimes you can't take back words that were given or words that were spoken that were injurious. It left an impression. It left a mark. Just as words of life bring life, especially anointed words, especially the Word of God. That's why the Word of God is foundational in the training of a child, because from beginning to end, it tells them God loves you. You're here with purpose. You have a destiny, and there is eternal life beyond the grave. Without this word, they lose the ability to be able to know their purpose or why they're here. The word is more than just pages. It's more than just letters. It's more than just words that are written in black and white ink or in red. It is the living word, having the power to transform the human heart. It's spiritual, which means it feeds not just the outward flesh, but the spiritual man. It gives them the ability to know God, which is the greatest purpose of mankind, is that we would know our God, that we would love our God, that we would enjoy our God, that we would have a relationship with our God. And that has come to us through Christ. He demonstrated the Father's love. In fact, he said, without the Father, I can do nothing. He even himself submitted himself to his Father and said, not my will be done, but yours be done. He's the Father from which all parenting comes from. What do you want your child to say about you when you're gone? I've been a mother and a Christian, and I've always wanted to leave a legacy of faith instilled in the hearts of my children. I knew that my life would not be lived out in front of them with perfection, because it's impossible. We're only perfect through Christ. I knew that I would make mistakes. I knew that I would say things and then later have to go back and say that I'm sorry. I knew that there were times when I thought I was right and I was wrong. I knew I would have to humble myself many times, but I knew also when I spoke wisdom. And I've learned through the years that sometimes wisdom means you just need to be silent. You need to be still. Sometimes when you speak, it is anointed by God. And it's powerful, and it's changing lives as it's going out into the atmosphere. And that's how powerful it is to raise a child and speak those words over that child. The words of Christ, the words of the Bible, the scriptures. I wanted my faith to be lived out. I didn't never want my children to think that I never made a mistake. But I wanted them to see that when I made one, I was willing to apologize or to correct it. That's sometimes just as important as doing it right. They are going to see many things in your life. I wanted them to see in my life that there were shadows as well as light. I wanted them to see that there was pain, but the pain brought me to purpose. I wanted to see that I'm living in this earth, but I'm always preparing myself for eternity. In fact, I live every day as if I would see my God today. And it changes the way I live. And it changes the way I think. And it changes the way I treat people. And it changes the way I parent. Because I know I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to be accountable for what I invested in the hearts and the lives of my children and my grandchildren. What did I give them of eternal value? What tools did I give them in this life to cause their life to be different from what the world is teaching them? We're all going to come to those places. One thing I wanted them to say about me when I'm gone, my mama loved God. My mama knew God. My mama spent time with God, and it changed the way she lived her life and the way she took care of me. It's valuable. It's so valuable that there is not enough money to give to a person for the value of a godly mother or father. When we come to 2 Timothy, we feel the urgency of the moment. 2 Timothy is a place where Paul is getting ready to give his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's in a prison. He's being held. He's coming to the end of his life, having been a Pharisee of Pharisees of the tribe of Benjamin, having been a legalistic follower, a keeper of the Jewish laws without fault. He has an epiphany on the road to Damascus where he meets Christ the Savior living, and it changed his life. He's living it out. He's following Christ. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's made mistakes, and yet he is guided and leaded and directed by God. He's still moving with God in every circumstance. But now he's coming to this place. It's the end of his life. Paul was never married. He was married to God. He really was. God was his life. Christ was what he preached. Christ and him crucified. And he's coming to the end of his life, just like all of us will. And he has young Timothy, who is like a son to him. Just like you have children, or you have people that you're mentoring, or you have people that you're influencing. Whether it be through the educational systems or the sports system. My husband worked with children in sports. You have a voice. You have something to deposit into the lives of others that will impact their life and their destiny forever. Paul is investing in Timothy in the ministry. He says, he's my son. He is like a son to me. And he's coming to the end of his life. He's coming to this place where he feels the urgency of the moment of, I've got to give them all that I have because I'm not going to be here much longer. And when I leave, I want them to have the foundation that's going to bring them through everything that they encounter in their life, because they will no longer be able to come to me. His heart is full of love and passion, and you can read it and feel it. Paul, an apostle, a special messenger of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace unto you, peace from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I worship with a pure conscience in the spirit of my fathers, when without ceasing I remember you night and day in my prayers. And when I recall your tears, I yearn to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith, the leaning of your entire personality in God, in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power and his wisdom and his goodness, a faith that first lived in the heart of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And now I'm fully persuaded it dwells in you also. That is why I would remind you to stir up and rekindle the embers, fan the flame, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of hands with those of the elders. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, or of craving and cringing, fawning fear. He has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and a well-balanced mind, full of discipline and self-control. Do not blush or be ashamed then to testify to and for our Lord, nor for me, a prisoner for his sake. Take your share in the sufferings of the gospel in the power of God. Here's Timothy. He's listening. He's going to receive this letter. Paul's writing it. He's pouring out his entire heart. Paul knew the teachings, the value of instilling in a generation the gospel. He knew the books, the Pentateuch. He knew the teachings of Moses. How important the Word of God is. He's remembering as he's sending Timothy this letter, he's thinking about how important it is to carry on the gospel through the generational lineage. He's remembering Deuteronomy 11 and 13 when it says, "And if you will diligently heed my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all of your mind and your heart and with your entire being," he knew in that that they would be blessed. It goes on to say, "Therefore, you shall lay up these words in your minds and hearts and in your entire being and bind them as a sign upon your hands and your forehead bands between your eyes." In other words, let your thought processes be consumed with the Word of God so that you will have something to deposit into your children. "You shall teach them, your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall write them upon the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth." He's remembering this counsel of Moses. He's remembering how important it is to teach the generations the ways of God. And now out of his heart, he's speaking to Timothy, knowing that his days are short and they're coming to an end. And what does he tell him? What's the most important thing that he wants him to know? He says, in verse 3, he says, "I thank God whom I worship." Do you know that your worship, parents, your love for God is what your children see? Have they ever heard you pray? Have they ever seen tears stream down your face? Have they ever watched you worship in the car or at home in your kitchen? Have you laid your hand upon their head as you held them as babies and prayed over their lives? He's saying, "Remember, I remembered you when I worshiped. I worshiped God with a pure and clean conscience." Are you worshiping God as you're in this journey raising your children? There will be days when they frustrate you to no end. There will be days when you think, "I don't know what's going to happen to them." There will be days when you're concerned about their life and they're at college or they're away from home or they're young and they're little or they're at daycare and you're going to be concerned about your life. And he says, "I was remembering you as I worshiped." And it was in that time of worship before the Lord with a pure conscience in the Spirit, "I remember you. I remembered you, Timothy. I was worshiping and you came to my heart." Do you know how many times I've been in my prayer chamber and all of a sudden the Lord brought one of my children before me and he would say, "Pray about this. They're concerned. Pray about this one because they're getting ready to make a bad decision." How many times while I was in worship in my bed at night, maybe sleeping, and the Lord would awaken me and I would say, "What is it, Lord?" And he would speak to me about my children. And I would pray. I may have never saw the end results of that prayer. Maybe I didn't see it naturally, but the Lord turned things around for them. He intervened in circumstances and situations. He stopped things that were getting ready to happen. And he led them. The prayers of a mother and a father changed the course and the destiny of children. He says, "I'm in worship. I'm remembering you. I'm thinking about you without ceasing. Night and day, I think about you." Once you become a parent, there'll never be a day when you don't think about your children. Never, never. There'll never be a time when you don't have them in your heart and in your mind. There'll never be a day when you're not a parent. There'll never be a day that your thoughts aren't always thinking, I hope they know God and they're ready for eternity. He says, I'm thinking as I'm worshiping, I'm in this place. I'm praying for you without ceasing, night and day. And when I recall your tears, I yearn to see you that I may be filled with joy. Praying for your children are some of the most powerful prayers you can ever pray. A prayer from a mother can link a child's heart to God. How many stories have I heard of mothers praying for their sons or their daughters while they're in the military overseas and or in combat? And because of the prayers and the intercession of a mother, God turned the events of the situation around. Prayer is powerful. It's not just the act of praying. It's the intimacy with God that you're experiencing. You're there with God Almighty through Christ. It's not just the act of prayer. Let's prayer itself become some type of a worshipful event. It's not the act of prayer. It's the intimacy of prayer with God. You're engaging in a relationship with the God who sovereignly rules the universe and who has the power to intervene in your life and in your children's life. Paul's saying to Timothy, I'm praying for you without ceasing. I never stop praying for you. I remember you with tears. I remember you in prayers. I remember you. I'm praying over you. I can't stop praying for you. That's how we pray for our children. You'll never stop praying for them. I take little Harper. She's 9 months old. I'll watch her while my daughter's finishing up her master's and working, and we'll be in there getting ready to eat her breakfast. And there's two things that Harper Riley loves. She loves the Mother Goose Club, all the rhymes and rhythms. And she loves worship. She loves Waymaker. It's one of her favorite songs. And I'll go over and turn it and put it on, and I'll turn it to her as she gets ready to eat. And she starts giggling. She'll start giggling. She loves to watch them worship. There's nothing, the Bible says that he has perfected praise in the hearts of his children. The Lord says that his angels, the angels of God, are watching over those children night and day. Their cries are ever before his throne. Those angels are always bringing messages to God about that child. He says, if you offend one of my little ones, if you hurt one of my little ones, if you tempt one of my little ones, and may the nation take note of this, as there are many things happening in this nation that are destructive towards children. He said, it would be better for you that you had been drowned in the depths of the sea than to hurt one of my little ones. To offend one of my little ones, or to lead them into temptation. We need to have more reverence for the way that we treat children in this nation, from the womb on. Paul's saying, I remember you. I'm praying for you without ceasing. I'm bringing you before the Lord. Number one, a parent is a praying parent. A parent that actually intercedes with God for the child. Do you pray for your children? Do you pray for them without ceasing? Are you constantly bringing them before the Lord? It's so important. Many times, once again, in my children's life, the Lord stepped in circumstances and redirected them because of prayer, because of intimacy with God, because of talking to Him about my children. Mothers, your children need to see you pray. Fathers, your children need to see you pray. They need to hear you call out their name before God. They need to see you on your knees or in the car, tears streaming down your face as you say, "Lord, take care of my Daniel. Take care of my Grace. Watch over their lives. Lead them today. Guide them by the Spirit. Watch over my Corey today. Take care of him. Help him to grow in his relationship with you. Watch over my Alicia. Many difficult situations, Lord, but you have placed her right where she needs to be, doing what you've called her to do. Give her the Holy Spirit's wisdom. Pray for your children. Let them see you pray. Let them hear you call their name before God. Paul says, "I'm remembering you, Timothy. I'm thinking of you, Timothy." Number two, in verse 5, it says, "I'm calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith." I'm calling up memories of faith that first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And now I'm fully persuaded it dwells in you. It's a legacy. A legacy. It was in your grandmother. And your grandmother passed it down to her mother. And her mother passed it down to her mother. And it's continuing on. It's continuing on. Grace, can you come up here real quick and bring Harper? My mother, Cecilia, was a godly woman. She ever sought the Lord. She was always praying, and I would hear my mother pray, and I would hear her cry out to God, and she was just an amazing woman. I saw her struggle. I saw her suffer, but I never saw her lose her faith. Paul says, "I know your grandmother, and I know your mother, and I'm persuaded that it dwells in you too." So we take the baton of faith in Christ, and we pass it to our daughter, and she passes it to her daughter. That was good. And the legacy continues. Thank you. Thank you, honey. Don't let that legacy stop at some point. Don't allow that legacy to be discontinued. Because I'm telling you now, that there are many times when I will say to the Lord, "Remember the prayers that my mother prayed over such and such of a person? I agree with my mother's prayers and the desire of my father's heart through Christ to bring salvation to this person. I need you to step in on their life. I knew your grandmother. My grandmother, Hazel, was an amazing woman. She lived through the Depression. She took a little plot of land and she put every producing fruit tree you can imagine. She had pawpaws, she had chestnuts, she had cherries, she had grapevines, she had whatever, because she had lived through the Depression. She saved her cereal linings. She saved any present she ever opened and opened it perfectly with a file so that she could reuse it and use it again. She lived next to me almost all of my life as a child growing up. She taught me the Lord's Prayer with a pistol underneath her pillow. Because her husband had left her with five children to raise by herself. And she was not only the mother of the home, she was the father of the home. I lived next to her all my life as a child. She invested in me with no chance of maybe not even thinking that maybe, oh, I don't know if Rebecca will serve the Lord. She invested. She taught me the Lord's Prayer. She showed me her faith. She spoke in tongues. She had dreams. She would show me things. She invested in my life with really no opportunity to even see it be returned to her, because she died when she was 96 years old and I hadn't even fulfilled all the days of my life. She invested without knowing whether she'd get a return or not. But my grandmother to this day was such a valuable source in my rearing. And then my mother was a mother of faith. And I am a woman of faith, and I'm passing that faith to my children, and I pray to God that it never stops going through the generational line, that the lineage of Christ Jesus and the Lord and the power of the gospel and the Spirit of the Lord will go with them long after I'm gone. He's calling up memories of Timothy's grandmother and mother. These were women of faith in Christ. These women had sown seeds into young Timothy's heart. They had sown the Word of God into his heart. No one will truly understand the impact of a godly grandmother or mother in the faith. It's powerful. You get frustrated. Your children and your grandchildren, you may see them going astray. They may not be following the ways of the Lord. But grandmother and mother, you have sown into their hearts. You've prayed over them with tears. You've taken the children to church. You've done everything that you know to do. You will stand before the Lord and He will say, "Well done." You may not get any fruit at the moment in the course of your life, but later when you stand before the Lord, and even while you're here, those prayers are still active. They're still having an impact. Keep praying. Keep taking them to church. Keep investing in their lives. These women taught Timothy the Word of God. They knew that the foundation of faith had to be built upon the Word of God. It had to be. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. The first time my children heard about Jesus, it wasn't in church. I was the preacher of my home. My husband was the preacher of our home. My children heard about God in my own home. We talked about God and we prayed and we lived it out in front of them. Did we make mistakes? Absolutely. Did we apologize when we made mistakes? Yes. Did we admit when we were wrong? Yes. We did a lot of things right. We did a lot of things wrong. Welcome to parenting. But let Christ be your guide and be humble enough to say you're sorry when you're wrong. And be bold enough to declare the truth in a world that does not teach the truth. Be the pastor of your own home. And then when they come to church, that's just aiding them along, strengthening them and helping them. Teach them the word of God in your house. And when they come to this house, it will just strengthen the foundation. Our children are blessed when we pass the torch of faith to them through the teaching and the living out of the word of God. Number one, be a praying mother. Number two, pass the legacy on to your children and your children's children. Number three, rekindle the flame, the fire. He says, I remember your mother, Lois. It would be the same as God saying to me today, I remember your mother, Hazel. And I now remember your mother, Cecilia. And I am assured, Rebecca, that in you abides the living God. Because of the teachings that they instilled in you, they taught you how to come to God through Christ. And now you have a relationship with God. I know you have it. I see it. Don't get discouraged. The journey here seems long, but eternity is longer. Don't get weary in well-doing. Parenting is a tough job, and to do it well, you have to be diligent. The enemy's coming in many different avenues now. He's coming through their eyes, what they watch on television, what they see. He's coming through many different sources now. And to be a prepared and on top of it parent, you've got to work at it. You've got to be diligent, and you can't get weary in well-doing. He says, rekindle the embers, fan the flame, and keep it burning. This gracious gift, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of hands. In other words, he's saying, it's hard work, but keep on going. Fan the flame. It takes both mom and dad to make it work properly. But even if you're a single mom or dad, God can aid you. I know what it's like to be married. I know what it's like to be widowed and have children. I know both sides. It can be done. It can be done by the power of God. It can be done by the aid of heaven. You can raise godly children, even if you're a single parent. The original intent of God's heart is marriage, man and woman together rearing children. But in this culture, that is broken and twisted. And so what do? I buried my first husband and had two small children, 22 months and 5 years old. What was I going to do? How was I going to raise them? All the fears that he goes on in the next verse to talk about. All the insecurities. How am I going to do this? I had been a stay-at-home mom. I hadn't even worked outside of the house. I had no means to take care of my family. What was God thinking? God came along and said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to make a way. How difficult to believe that when you're wounded, when you're hurt, when it seems impossible. But God. The waymaker made a way. You can run your own life, try to do it your way, make your own decisions and hope it works. Or you can follow Christ, His Word, grab a hold of His Spirit and not let go. And believe what He says and He will do an amazing job. What do I want to say to all of those single parents out there? No matter what circumstances that you have faced in your life, if you get a hold of Christ and get a hold of His Word and you're sincerely seeking Him with all of your heart, He will help you and take care of you and guide and help your children. The fire. What is that? What is He talking about, the fire? The Holy Spirit. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to raise children. You're going to need the wisdom of God, the counsel of God, the might of God, the energy of God. You're going to need the Word of God instilled in your heart, coming back at you in times and seasons when you don't know what's going on with your child and they're acting strange. He says, stir up the flame, rekindle it. What's He saying? Stir up your relationship with God. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Allow the Word of God to stimulate this Word and move in your life. He'll give us information. He'll give us revelation. I can't say it enough how many times I was warned by God about circumstances that were happening in my children's life, and He woke me up or sent me a dream. I'm so glad for the activity of the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for every dream that He gave me to warn my children. It got to the place to where my kids are like, Mom just knows everything. I don't know what's going on. When your kids are like going, you can't hide anything from Mom. They know everything. I don't know, she's got some kind of connection. It's kind of spooky. It's the Holy Ghost. When you are surrendered to the God of the universe, there's nothing He doesn't know. And He'll reveal it and relay it to you to help you in your parenting. You'll feel it. You'll get an uncomfortable feeling in your spirit and say, there's something going on. And you'll hear that child's name and the Lord will say, pray, pray, pray about this. You'll know when they're in danger. You'll know when they're hurting. You'll pick it up when you're talking to them on the phone, even as adults. Rekindle the flame. Allow the Holy Spirit to direct and guide your life. To help you in rearing your children. He will guide you. He will help you. Go over the books of the Bible with them. Proverbs, the book of wisdom, Genesis, why they were created and for the purpose of it. Teach them the commandments of God. Teach them what sin does and how it destroys their life, though it may bring pleasure for a moment. But also teach them the joys that come in serving God and obeying His commandments. My mother lived that out in her life. My grandmother lived that out in her life. And I'm persuaded that I will live it out in my life. And I pray that when I'm gone, my children will pass that on to their children. The relationship with Christ Jesus. When I stand before God and He looks at me, He will say to me, "Did you teach your children about me?" And I want to say yes. I did. We know the story that Jesus taught when He said, "Build this foundation, the foundation upon the rock, and that way when the storms come and the difficulties come, they won't take you out. But if you build a foundation on the sand, when the storms come and the difficulty comes, the house that it's built on will be dissolved." Today I'm asking you as parents to continue to build that foundation on the rock of Christ Jesus and His Word. Don't build it on this world. This world is passing. This world is so confusing. It's twisting the minds of our children. It's teaching them lies and everything that is contrary to God's Word. I hear a lot of mixed salad faith. And whenever I hear mixed salad faith, and what do I mean by that is, when I hear some teachings of the world that have been mixed with Christ, you have a relationship with Christ, but you teach the things of the world. That tells me one thing: you don't know the Word. This is the Word. This is the foundation we build in the hearts of our children. It may not be culturally accepted. It may not be welcomed in the public school. It may not be flowing out of our government or the decisions that they're making. Nonetheless, it is God's Word to man. It is holy. It has the power to transform human life from the inside out. Ultimately, in the end, we will be judged by knowing Christ, and He is the Word. The Bible from beginning to end is a revelation of Christ Jesus. He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This Word that has been preserved through trials and storms, through persecution, people have died for this Word. It has been kept on papyrus. It's been preserved. It's been taken out of just the priesthood and brought into everyday households so that everyone can have it. This is the Word that represents Christ. This is the Word that testifies of Christ. And ultimately, when everything is said and done, it will not be popular with the world. It will not be popular with this culture. It will not be popular with what they're pumping on television, on the internet, or in all the other sources. This Word will stand alone and stand apart by itself because it represents God, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that ultimately, in the end, will be the final say. Does your children know Christ? Do they know Him? They will not be judged by any other standard except do they know Christ and have a personal relationship with Him. That's what will make the difference. Let's stand to our feet this morning. It seems like a long time here, but it's not. My mama rocked me and cradled me in my arms and sang over me and prayed over me. She warned me of impending danger that saved my life. Her hands got old. Her veins popped out, her fingers got twisted. I saw her through the divorce of my father, through the loss of her mother. I watched her when she was on top of the world, and I watched her when she fell. Nothing was hidden. As she got older, she revealed more secrets because there was something about things that had happened in her life that she wanted me to know. She said to me, I didn't want you to ever think I was perfect, but God has failed me. I miss her. I pray by the grace of God I can aspire to be like her. And let the legacy of faith continue on in my family, to my children, and my children's children. We need you, mothers. We need you, grandmothers. We need you on fire for God. We need you to combat the culture of lies and speak the truth of God. We need you praying over your children and your grandchildren. Don't get weary. It's hard work, but it's worth it. Every human life is worth it. You've got a stray, a wayward child. You say, they hurt me. They wounded my soul with their rebellion. I understand. Don't stop praying for them. Don't let your heart become so hard that you and so wounded that you forget bringing them before the Lord. Don't let your disappointment cause you to forget them. Keep praying. Keep bringing their name before the God who has the power to send His Spirit to them. Father, today over your people, over your mothers and your fathers, over your grandmothers, grandfathers, those who know you, may you cause the spark and the flame of your Spirit to arise within them. Many grandparents right now raising a generation of children, another generation. They raised their own and now they're raising more. Keep on preaching the gospel and living it out. Continue on until there's no breath left in you. Keep praying, keep interceding. Keep trusting your God and showing your children and your children's children how to have a relationship with Him. Father, give them strength. Give them energy. Give them wisdom. Give them knowledge. Help them to have wise counsel. Help them to show when they make mistakes to apologize, to repent when they sin, to confess it with their mouth and to turn away from it. Help them to be genuine. Give them all that they need through your word and your Spirit to continue on to be the mothers, the grandmothers that you have called them to be. In this time and in this season, they are valuable. In Jesus' mighty name, bless them. And amen. Amen.